south of the border, down Mexico way. That's where I fell in love when the stars above came out to play. And now as I wander.
Hello there, all you expat wannabes. I'm Johnny Mueller, and you're listening to The Expat Files, Living in Latin America, the show that tells you just what it's like to live, work, play, and or retire down here in Latin America. It's a mix of the good, the bad, the ugly, and the great, and it's all right here, so let's get started. Hey, I got it. Let's talk about circumcisions in Latin America. I got an email that says, Johnny, what about circumcisions in Latin America? And that's it. An email that said, what about circumcisions in Latin America? How do you answer that? Happy to oblige? Ouch. Well, I can tell you what I know about circumcisions. In the rest of the world, both Catholics and Jews generally get circumcised for religious reasons, of course. Though it's not without its dangers and casualties. That's how a lot of Jews and Catholics got fingered by the Nazis in World War II. Fingered? Wrong word choice. Sorry about that. So, down here in Latin America, being that most Latin countries are 90% Catholic, some even more, and I mean extremely religious and Catholic, that means they should follow all the norms and rules of their religion, right? But they don't. Well, they do on Sunday anyway. As statistics have pointed out, Sunday is a day when there are very few robberies and crimes. That's something to keep in mind. And as for circumcisions, yes, if you're born in a real hospital here in Latin America and you happen to be Catholic or Jewish, there is a 99.9% chance that you will be circumcised upon parental request, of course. However, since there are many more lower middle class and poor people here in Latin America, most of whom happen to be Catholic too, they're born in the home delivered by a lady called a comadrona. That would be a midwife. Why? Well, because most of these people are very poor. None of them have any kind of health insurance, and a comadrona is dirt cheap. In fact, I understand out in the campo, that would be in the boonies, a comadrona will stay with a pregnant woman for however long her contractions take and all that for less than $100. And they're just on the scene to help with the delivery, not to perform circumcisions. Now, as far as cesarean births, in hospitals here in Latin America, the numbers are quite high, just like up in the States. Always the easy way out, you know? However, at home or out in the campo, that's out in the boonies, a comadrona can't do a cesarean. That's doctor's work. So, surprise, surprise, there are almost no cesareans out in the campo. Yet you rarely hear about complications or kids dying when a comadrona does the delivery. Now, isn't that odd? And since comadronas don't do circumcisions either, which means probably 3/4 or more of Latin Catholics are not circumcised, even though in the rest of the first world, probably 99.9% of them are. So note down here, if you happen to be in a men's locker room, where all the boys hang out, of course, which could only happen, I guess, if it's high school gym class, sports, or you happen to be in prison, you'll definitely be able to tell who's Catholic or Jewish, but you won't be able to tell who's not. Does that make sense? So Lamont, that's the guy who wrote the email that got this started. What else do you want to know about circumcisions here in Latin America? Sorry, but that's about all I got for you, man. Except to say, of course, that up in the first row, there's a low-grade controversy going on about whether you should or you shouldn't. And I've actually heard that some grown-up kids in the States have filed lawsuits against their parents because they've been circumcised. Man, am I glad I am not living up there in Big Brother Bizarro Land. Now, in Lamont's short email, he never specified if he was talking about strictly male circumcisions because, you know, in certain Muslim countries, they're big on female circumcisions, too. What a bunch of medieval idiot morons, huh? Yep, that and honor killings and beheadings and all that. Which brings up another thing I just don't get. Somehow you don't see first world feminists and gender benders picketing mosques and Middle Eastern embassies in first world countries to protest those archaic practices, now do you? Meanwhile, they'll take to the streets to protest anything else they deem as sexist, right? But the cruel and unusual, retarded attitude Muslims have toward women, well, feminists and gender benders seem to ignore all that. But you know what figures? They gave a complete pass to hagbag Hillary and Predator Bill. I know, this show is about Latin America, and I really do hate talking about politics. In fact, to me, there's nothing more boring than politics, excepting rap, hip-hop, reggaeton, reality shows, and Latin American radio and TV. And frankly, I don't know which auditory poison is worse, rap and hip-hop, or the dumbed-down Latin version, if that's even possible, called, you know, I hate even saying the word, Reggaeton. Ew, pass the vomit bag, please. Now, the other day, I was sitting around with a couple of middle-class Latin American guys. I spent an hour or so in the reception area of a tire store. And, you know, that's my chance to pump these guys for info they're never going to tell to a regular gringo, mostly because the regular gringos down here don't speak Spanish. And a casual acquaintance is not about to open up to a person that doesn't speak their language. In cases like that, the most you'll get out of one of those guys is a buenos dias or buenas tardes. I mean, come on, how could it be any other way without an interpreter, right? So then what about Latinas and Latinos you meet down here who do speak some English? Well, I found, to simplify things, you could say they come in basically three types. First group, number one, Latins that are lucky enough, at least in their minds anyway, to live on or near the gringo tourist trail because they know if they learn just a little bit of English, they can earn dollars instead of pesos, lempiras, colones, quetzales, balboas, whatever. And that can open up a world of opportunity for them. They know that practically all the gringos on or near the gringo tourist trail don't speak Spanish, and they know they have dollars to spend, and they'll gravitate to any Latin person who speaks a little English. Hey, that's the way it's always been on any tourist trail anywhere in the world. The guys who can communicate with the tourists in their language always seem to end up working for gringos and expats or in the tourist biz, making double or triple the local wage they were accustomed to getting, which can cause some problems within their own circle of friends and family. Then there's that second category of Latinos that speak English. That would be the upper, middle class, and wealthy Latin families who send their kids to helicopter schools, which are totally bilingual. That would be the 1% or 2%. Note, if you're around these kind of kids and you're paying attention, they can be, except for their Latin looks, indistinguishable in behavior and attitude from your average pampered, overindulged gringo kid up in the States. Yep, the ultimate gringo wannabes. And I'll tell you, it's so black and white, so obvious down here in Latin America. You just go to, let's say, a middle-class Latin restaurant, or even one of those big open markets or a middle-class shopping mall. There you'll see lower and middle-class Latins with their kids, and they're always so well-behaved. They don't make a fuss. They don't make a scene if they can't have a toy or candy. They're not tugging on daddy's pants, whining because they're bored and they want to go somewhere else. They don't run around dodging people, playing games, sliding on their bellies across the floor. However, if you're in an upscale Latin restaurant, one that the average Latin person would never go to because it's too expensive, or at a Costco, Sears, or Walmart, also considered high-end, places average and lower middle-class Latins rarely shop because they know other places, albeit in dingier areas, that are much less expensive. Talk about first-world flashbacks. I've seen it more than a few times myself. Kids making a fuss, saying, I don't like this, I want that, whining that they want to go home or somewhere else, with their parents completely indulging them. Meanwhile, everyone else is minding their own business, just trying to shop or have a nice dinner. And unfortunately, gringos who come down here to Latin America permanently with their own kids always talk the talk, but almost never walk the walk. They keep indulging their own kids because they feel they've dislocated them from society up in the States, and now they have to make it up. Or something on that order. I've heard that excuse from many a gringo parent. And gringo parents, they're notorious for not following through when they make a threat. Oh, I've heard them say they'll punish a kid by taking his smartphone away or limiting TV, Netflix, grounding him, taking something away, but they're mostly empty threats and kids soon realize that. Here's a perfect example. A couple weeks ago, I was invited to a party at an expat gringo's house. Was an afternoon affair. People started showing up, mostly gringo couples, with a few of them bringing their young kids. No problem so far. Now, about a half an hour into the festivities, I saw one gringa expat having a little argument with her hubby in the corner. Then she walked up to the hostess of the party and says, we're going to leave. We'll be back in about an hour. We forgot something. Then the hostess said, sure, but what is it? What do you need? She said, get this. Her three-year-old kid that she brought along was absolutely bored to death because they didn't bring his favorite toy. Now, I saw them walk through the front door. The dad had a big basket full of toys that they'd brought along. Oh, but as it turns out, none of those were the kid's favorite toy. Hey, I'm not kidding. It was like deja vu all over again, visiting my relatives back up in Chicago. Same sort of crap, a room full of terribly indulgent parents. Apparently, being 2,000 miles from Chicago is not enough to escape such things. And at that moment, I was thinking back to my own childhood. Oh, I remember those days well. If I would have whined in a gathering because I was bored or tugged on my dad's pants because I wanted to get his attention, and grabbing some candy or junk food off the shelf while we were shopping, that would never fly. And man, we were taught very young that unless it was a kid's party, we weren't to make any kind of undue fuss around company. Now, if I was a bad kid, they wouldn't slap me around. They'd just ground me to my bedroom. And the threats were not empty. They were real. I guess I'm showing my age again, but those were the days where you didn't try hard to be friends with your kid. If it worked out that way, well, okay, but in the end, you were the parent. The authority figure. You got the last word, not the kid. Meanwhile, back at the barbecue, the parents left for that kid's toy. The rest of us, who caught on to what was happening, just rolled our eyes. So that's what you have to look forward to if you're going to live on or near the Gringo Tourist Trail. Now, that's not to say all Gringo parents or parents of kids who go to helicopter schools suck up to their own kids and let them walk all over them like that. And it's not to say that spoiled, entitled kids need to be slapped. It's their parents that need to be slapped. However, that's not my job. Wish it was, but you can't have everything. But where were we? Oh yeah, talking about the three types of Latin people who speak English. You've got the ones that live on or near the Gringo Tourist Trail, and their motivation is the Gringo dollar. The upscale kids whose parents can afford truly bilingual helicopter schools. And finally, number three, there's those Latin people here who learned their English on the streets up in the States, got caught, deported, and now are back in their home country. Anyway, I mentioned earlier, if you speak Spanish with the locals, oftentimes you can get a really good feel of what's happening in the Latin community. Not to mention, some Latins are real talkers, and they'll tell you chismes, meaning gossip and rumors that are floating around and what's on the grapevine in the area. For example, who likes to drink? Who's lazy? Who are the hardest workers in the neighborhood? The most trustworthy? The least trustworthy? Etc., etc. Now, it may sound petty, but it's good stuff to know if you're going to be in that neighborhood. And the fact is, most of us living on or near the Gringo Tourist Trail are never privy to the neighborhood's inside scoop regarding the locals. Which is why when I read these Gringo expat blogs, whether they're coming from Mexico, Colombia, whatever, most of the time they're fairly oblivious to what's happening at the street level with the locals. It stands to reason, too, that the more Gringos have infiltrated the area, the more the laid-back traditional lifestyle of the locals is completely altered. At first, of course, the locals are ecstatic that the Gringos have landed and brought culture and money to the area. Though soon enough, and it never fails, those two devils, greed and envy, rear their ugly heads. No, not the Latins having greed and envy for the Gringos. It's more like greed and envy that Latins have towards each other when someone or other starts doing better financially than their neighbor. All of a sudden, Julio puts an addition on his house. Buys a moto or a car. In other words, he doesn't ride the chicken bus anymore. Well, that's a big step up. Unfortunately, Latins love to shove that upward mobility stuff in the face of their friends and neighbors. You've heard me say it 100 times. It's a very superficial society, and it's all about the show. So, bottom line, beware of expat gringo bloggers. If those bloggers are living on or near the Gringo Tourist Trail, especially if they're not fairly fluent in Spanish, it's almost impossible for them to have an accurate bead on what's happening within the local Latin community. And you really need to know what's going on not only in the Gringo community, but in the Latin community, because you're just a guest living under your chosen Latin country's rules. Now, you might think you could pick up all kinds of good local information from a Latino in the area that speaks English. Maybe. Though more than likely you'll get slanted responses from them too. Predictably, accentuating the positive. Like, for example, when a local Latin person who speaks English is trying to sell you something like a car or a stereo or a tire or a piece of real estate. Chances are, if he were to explain the same deal in Spanish, it would come out a lot differently than when he explained it in English. Like expat Eddie says, when a Latin person has gone through all that trouble to learn pretty good English, it's already implied that they're extreme gringophiles. So, they'll want to be friends with you because every Latin person who speaks little English wants to have a real gringo friend. However, if you're speaking to a local Latino in Spanish, you're now in their comfort zone. And it's much more likely that you'll get an honest and forthright dialogue going. Instead of the usual superficial, how are you, where'd you from kind of dialogue you get with most Latinos who speak a bit of English. Like expat Eddie says, and he's hired and fired a lot of Latin workers. He says, if you want to really know what a Latin person's thinking, ask them the questions in Spanish. There's a lot to be said for that. But I digress as usual. Man, did I digress. Anyway, I was sitting in a tire shop talking to a couple of Latin boys, and I could tell by the cars they drove and the way they looked, they were just slightly above Latin middle class. They probably made maybe 800 to 1,000 bucks a month. So I sat down and grabbed that day's local Latin newspaper. I was reading the headline on the second page. It said more or less in English, "The excessive dollars coming into Latin America from remisas," you know, that would be money being sent from the States every month, "is the main reason for the dollar's weakness in many Latin countries." Which brings me to a question that comes up a lot. How come lately, in the past couple of years anyway, so many Latin countries have a pretty stable local currency against the dollar? Meaning, why aren't Latin currencies inflating to nothing like they traditionally have done, at least in the 70s, 80s, and 90s? With the big recent exception to that rule being, of course, Venezuela, whose currency now is about as good as toilet paper. In fact, that's what it's being used for these days. Really? I mean, really. And you know, before the millennium, we were used to reading about Latin countries having financial blowout after financial blowout. Yep, back in the 70s, 80s, and 90s, that was the MO for Brazil, Argentina, Mexico. One big reason why people call Latin American countries banana republics, right? But since the new millennium, most Latin currencies have been holding their own against the U.S. funny money. So why is that, you might ask? Are Latin bank bureaucrats becoming more responsible and fiscally conservative? Fat chance of that. Nope, it's just the same revolving door of malignant thieving pus bags who've always held those positions. It's just that suddenly Latin America is awash in U.S. dollars. A combination of unprecedented amounts of remisas combined with unprecedented amounts of drug money flowing back to the homeland. So you've got way too many dollars piling up in the banks of countries that don't use the dollar as their local currency. I know it sounds crazy, but it's true. So we're all sitting there in the waiting room in a tire shop, and I'm looking at this article. And right next door, and I mean right next door in the strip mall, there's a little Western Union cash window. And from where we sat, we could see the people coming and going, always a line at least about three deep. Then eventually, one of the guys sitting in the tire shop said, kind of cynically, "Mira, obviamente es el fin del mes." Meaning, look at that. Obviously, it's the end of the month. Then another guy piped in and said, kind of sarcastically, "Remisas, tienen suerte." He was saying, look, they're picking up their remisas. With his cynicism, he was saying, those lucky SOBs, they're getting free money and I'm not. So the floor was open. The subject was remisas. So I jumped in and said, you know what? I don't get it. I've been reading in the paper for the last couple of months, ever since Trump's been in. I said, there are fewer Latinos crossing into the States and the job market up there sucks. It's terrible. In fact, I've been hearing that some Latinos are actually leaving the States, afraid of getting caught. Even some of them are starting to move on to Canada. Then I said again, I don't get it. With all that, how is this possible? And I showed him the headline in the article of the paper I was reading. You know, the one that said there were unprecedented amounts of remises coming in from the States to Latin America. Then I showed him the next headline under the title. It said, remises coming from the U.S. are at an all-time high. In fact, they're 16.4% higher than they were during the same period last year, before Trump even took office. Again, I said, I don't get it. I'm stumped. How is that possible? And sure enough, one of those Latin boys in the tire shop straightened me out, in Spanish, of course, because I'm way off the gringo tourist trail. Oh, but one of those guys did use his 10 or so words of English on me to break the ice. By the way, when you're off the gringo tourist trail, that happens a lot. He said those three magic words, "Where'd you from?" To which I almost always say, "Adivina," which means guess. Which is also a rather good and fun icebreaker that keeps the conversation going. And because, you know, I'm speaking Spanish and they're trying to get some hints from my accent, let's face it, no matter how good your Spanish is, you're going to have an accent. And then after they've guessed wrong a few times, I say, "Chicago." And then, you know, they'll always say they have a relative in Minneapolis or Dubuque, and they'll say the name and want to know if I've ever met the guy. Like, you can swing a dead cat and hit every Latin guy who's living in the States. Of course, we've all heard stories about how the average American up north is a complete idiot when it comes to world geography. I'll tell you, man, you ain't seen nothing yet till you've given a Latino a geography quiz. Anyway, in a nutshell, here's what I picked up from those guys in the tire shop, who who, by the way, all had friends and relatives living up in the States, and I have to assume that most all of them were illegal because I found out a long time ago that people down here love to brag about their relatives up in the States. And if they're legal in the States and have a green card, they'll always slip that little piece of info into the conversation. In fact, they'll say, my cousin Julio, the Americano, lives in Chicago or Tucson, etc., etc. However, if they've got a relative in the States and they don't mention their legal status, you have to assume they're illegals because Latins are so proud when one of the family up in the States finally gets his papers. So then what did I learn from those Latin guys in the tire shop regarding remises? Well, for one thing, and you probably knew this, Latinos up in the States are terrified of Trump. In fact, they're even going so far as to be working on their own Plan B. Say what? Their own Plan B? Of course, that's not what they call it, but that's sure what it looks like. A large percentage of them, and I'm talking about illegals now, are actively thinking about Canada. And the millions of other Latinos with iffy status in the States are laying low. That is, not going out much. And when they do go out, it's with some trepidation. In fact, on the nightly TV news broadcasts here in Latin America, you see fewer and fewer poster-toting Latino protesters out in the streets. Whereas before Trump got elected, it was quite different. Illegals would protest on the streets and they were quite bold about it. With some illegals even going so far as to blast Trump and the Republicans on camera, saying things like, for example, they have a God-given right to mobility regardless of government laws and borders. And all of them pro-hagbag Hillary supporters. But these days, Latinos are afraid. They're as nervous as hell. And what that's done is caused hundreds of thousands, even millions of them, to rethink their remisa strategy. Now, before Trump, there was little fear of deportation. Unless, of course, an illegal up in the States happened to get in trouble with the law. For example, drunk driving or worse. And even then, they'd go to a U.S. court and did time in the U.S. if convicted. And as one of these guys told me, when you get out, in most cases, you don't even get deported. So as this guy said, it's actually a rather easy way to remain in the States. Commit a not too serious crime, go to jail, get out on parole, and now you're in the country by design because you have to continuously report to your parole officer. Now, when I heard that guy explain this to me, all the while I was thinking, how'd he know that? But now Latinos in the States are anticipating the worst and are stepping it up on the remises. But to what effect? Well, illegals in the States without papers want to make sure they have a nest egg or at least a nicer house if they end up getting deported and sent back to their home countries, which makes sense. So Latinos up in the States are afraid, they're tightening their belts. The result? Remises on steroids. Now, earlier, I said to these guys, I just don't get it. But they sure did, and they said, why don't you get it? Seems logical. I said, well, that's because every single day in first world newspapers, television, media outlets, and such, they keep telling us, except for the U.S. stock market, the economy is in the dumpster. They talk about how there's 100 million adult Americans out of the workforce, 50 million at least, on some kind of government aid or welfare. And you know what? After about 30 seconds of trying to explain that to these guys, I got the glazed eyeball looks. That's when you know you've lost them for sure. However, one of those guys did have a comeback. He said, you say the economy up in Los Estados is bad. Maybe for you gringos, but not for us Latinos. All the friends and relatives I know that went up there are working. And they tell me, if I go up there, no problem. They got a job for me too. Then I asked him, where do you get your international news from anyway? He said, the local TV stations and CNN Latino. Well, that says it all, right? Which makes me wonder how many of you listeners out there even knew there was a CNN Latino. Yep, it's CNN dumbed down and presented in Spanish, if you can believe that's possible. Yep, I've checked it out, and that's when I get the glazed eye look. And that's why, again, I repeat, you really have to know some Spanish to have the pulse of what's going on with the regular people here in Latin America. Of course, it's all good and fine to understand what's going on with the gringos in their communities. More than that, it really helps to know if the local natives are calm or restless. Because, you know, as much as we try to reshape it, it is their world, not ours. After all, most of them are trying to or would give anything to live in the States. Meanwhile, we have the exact opposite mindset. We want out and they just don't get it. But still, here in Latin America, almost everywhere, I'd say south of Mexico, we're all considered valued guests. Even when we've overstayed our welcome and heavily gringoized a place, like, for example, in Costa Rica and Panama, even locals who don't much like gringos, and there aren't many of those, admit that they never wish to go back to the way things were before the gringos arrived. Sure, it all seems mildly schizophrenic, but that's the way it is. Enough said about that. As this show goes out, number 688, man, I can't believe it, I promise that later next week I'll have my Expat Insiders seminar sign-up sheet available at www.thenewexpat.com. And for all you listeners who are on my early bird sign-up list, you'll get the info and sign-up sheet right to your email box about a week before everyone else gets it. And don't forget, if you can't get boots on the ground here in Latin America yet or can't get down to my January 2018 Expat Insider Seminar, you owe it to yourself to sign up for my 9-hour Expat Essentials course. It'll really get you motivated and point you in the right direction with your own Plan B, so do check it out at www.expatplanb.com. You won't regret it. And finally, it's worth mentioning that there are people who are stuck or hung up in various stages of their own Plan B, which is why I make myself available to do one-on-one Skype or phone consults. To get started with that, just download my questionnaire form at www.thenewexpat.com. Have a look. The questions and statements on that form are sure to get the wheels turning. Oh, and there is one last thing. Emails keep trickling in saying stuff like, "Johnny, thank you so much for keeping us informed about and repeating over and over the word Bitcoin." In fact, looking back, I first mentioned Bitcoin around 2.5 years ago when it was hovering around $175. And you know, it's gratifying to know that a lot of you people out there jumped in early and wow. Oh, and by the way, I often get emails of the negative sort about Bitcoin too, though not quite what you might think. For example, yesterday I got an email from a guy who said, "Johnny, I can't turn on my smartphone, look at the TV, or go anywhere without hearing the word Bitcoin." And to me, he said, it's like the Chinese water torture. Why? Because I was all ready to buy in when Bitcoin was $250. I was all set to put $5,000 in when my wife said, "Nope, we're going on that Italian vacation you promised me first." Well, you know, Johnny, we went to Italy for 2 weeks, spent $5,000, had a good time and all, except that 20 bitcoins that $5,000 was supposed to purchase would now be worth over $100,000. Like I said, Johnny, it's the Chinese water torture.
South of the border.
This is the Expat Files, living in Latin America. If you want me to help you out with your own Plan B, just schedule a one-on-one consult. Send me an email, theexpatfiles@gmail.com. And if you want to learn how to move forward with your own Plan B from right up there in the States, go to www.expatplanb.com and check out my 3 videos. See ya. Nos vemos.